You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What do you believe are the three most pressing issues facing Auckland City, and what skills or experience do you have that you believe makes you the best positioned candidate to address them?
Well, picking on three, gee, you're making it tough there when there's so many. Obviously, the inefficiencies financially is a major one, a really major one, because that governs how much income council needs is determined by how much outgoing, how much it spends. So that has to be severely trimmed back. And I do have a handful of ideas to get that under control. So that would be right up there. The other one is getting the council-controlled organisations back under council control, which they're currently not. So that would have to be up there in the top area. I could probably slot that into one of the top three. And I think one of the other, very likely be up there would be the inefficiencies that are inside council's departments. And that would probably broach two areas. That would be both the fiscal inefficiencies and the operation inefficiencies. And I know it's a very broad brush that I'm talking about, but they can be delved into deeper. But I would think those three are right up there.
So you've identified predominantly the bureaucracy, inefficiencies, management as the kind of big issues within the council that you think need to be addressed. What makes you a good candidate in terms of skills and experience to address these sorts of things?
Well, my background is I'm an engineer, and so we're very logical engineers, no matter what form of engineering. We're very pragmatic, logical thinkers. It's just not only the way we're trained, but it generally tends to be your nature to do that kind of occupation. So when I started my career in that, I left school at 15 and went straight into a workshop and stayed with that same company for 16 years. And I went through all the different ranks that you could go through within a business, learning all the different skill sets required for business, and ended up as the general manager at the end. And then they wanted me to buy the company, but at that point I decided it was time to do something different. Now, because of that skill set I learned, and also your natural nature of engineering, I'm a fault finder, because my particular trade was hydraulic and pneumatic engineering. So my job was to design, modify, and fault find machinery that was broken, factory automation and production lines. That can directly come into the council system. So I've got the business now, and what I've learned through 35 years in the grassroots workforce, plus the ability to know that you can't fix things until you've found the fault. It's absolutely impossible just to use sound bites and buzzwords to say, I'm going to fix it, when you don't have the ability to be able to fault find. And what that means inside any operation, whether it's you're fixing your car, you're fixing a machine, or you're fixing a company, is you have to ask a lot of questions. You've got to delve in deep into the issues of how everything operates, how it works. Then once you've actually found the problems, you might have an idea yourself, or you reduce your ego and you know you don't have the answer, but you found the problem. You go find people who might have the answer. So that's a skill set I'll bring to the role of doing that in a very methodical way.
One of the bigger issues that has been brought up this election season is transport, with many of the candidates having strong policy positions on transport and a strong vision of what it should look like in Auckland. What is your plan to address these needs of Auckland and its transport?
Okay. The public transport is a major, major problem that won't be fixed overnight. And the reason for that is that generally the topography of Auckland, and over the last 150 years, the way we've designed Auckland, our suburbs. So public transport wasn't designed inside the city like it has been overseas with cities that are thousands of years old. We're still new, and we've done a lot of things wrong. So that's causing a major issue with designing public transport. And what happens is when you look at what ideas are thrown out there, they're kind of like Band-Aids on a major problem. That could actually be the only option as Band-Aid solutions. The reason being, to design a perfect public transport system, we'd have to employ a scorched earth policy throughout Auckland. We would have to raze buildings down, residents down, to make way for better rail. because rail is the best way to do it. It's better than bus. But unfortunately, that isn't so easy given our terrain and our layout. So buses have kind of been the default go-to. They have their problems because they're trying to get around our suburbs as well. So you've got to break it down. How do you solve it? Well, first you've got to realise that that's the problem. And then you go suburb by suburb, and you don't just lay down a big giant blanket over all of Auckland and say we're going to put bus lanes everywhere. You can't do that. So what we have to do is go to the local boards and the communities and say, let's talk about your intersections. Let's talk about where we've seen buses causing problems. Where can we open up the roads? Where can't we open up the roads? And then when we've found that there might not be a solution, everybody just has to put up their hand and go, sorry, there is no solution for this suburb. And we've got to do that suburb by suburb right around Auckland. However, one idea may be we drop the bus sizes down because the patronage is not there and we can get away with smaller buses. So we do that, a little bit less space required for moving around, then we may be able to do it. But the initial fix is not an easy one. When it comes to rail, that's a major problem, and it seems to be that's a really big band-aid that they're throwing at it. And like the light rail, to me, is a nonsensical idea that is not going to solve Auckland's problems at all. Just one little strip of light rail for that much money is not wise.
You mentioned reducing bus sizes because the patronage is lacking. Do you think that there are any policies that could or should move people onto public transport? One that's been brought up many times is fares-free public transport, which is intending to get more people on public transport to just reduce the number of people on the roads in general and reduce congestion.
Yeah, well, I think the fares-free is not being offered for that reason. The rhetoric I'm hearing from the candidates who are offering that is purely a budgetary decision and nothing to do with removing congestion and traffic. However, they may slot that into the narrative as time goes on. I don't believe fares-free is the answer. I believe it's the inefficiency of public transport, not the cost of it. The majority of Aucklanders do not live within a public transport site that works for them. And that's the feedback I've had. I've done surveys online. I've communicated with community groups right throughout Auckland on social media, and they all tell me the same thing. We need our car because the bus and train does not suit us and we can't bike everywhere. So that's why I do not believe fares-free is the answer. Granted, we need to look after the people who can not afford to use public transport every day and need it. We can do that. But just a blunt tool of saying, look, fares-free, that's not the answer. So everything links together. That's the major problem with public transport. It's an inefficient service, which is why it's not being used properly. And even then, if there were bus lanes everywhere throughout Auckland, I still don't think it's practical because people need to go to places where the public transport isn't going efficiently for them. We're so spread out. Our area is so massive. We've done it so wrong over the years, and that we're trying to find a solution for a lot of planning mistakes.
One of the issues in terms of inefficiency that you've identified is in terms of sort of geography, space, and just the physical nature of transport and how we can slot it into a complex city. Do you believe that there's any solution in further development of cycling infrastructure, which tends to take up less space and, crucially, doesn't take up as much space as a car or a bus?
If it's done properly. Now, I know that's a pretty weak statement, but what we're seeing around is a lot of cycle lanes that have been put in just as a vanity project, and they are not getting the patronage. They are badly designed, they're unsafe, and they're causing restrictions, which means they're being done but not being done safe. I do not have a general problem with cycle lanes. I have a problem with cycle lanes being overpriced and put into places that don't make sense. And a lot of them have actually destroyed some of our smaller shopping precincts and villages around Auckland, and that's growing. That's happening more and more as these lanes are being thrown into places and not used. And every suburb seems to be popping up with these little lanes that are making no sense. So yes, I am for cycle lanes, but not if they are not done properly. And at the moment, the overall consensus is that they are not being done properly. The pretty ones are great, like the recreational type ones that go through the CBD, the ones that link the waterfront of the CBD, Ōreki sort of area, and the new one that's gone through west from New Lynn, and it'll go all the way out. That's fine because they're not cutting into roadways. They've gone through parks and through footpath areas and all that kind of stuff. So that's not a problem. But those are very, very expensive recreational style cycle lanes. They're not practical for users, and cycling is not a practical solution as a replacement for public transport or cars in Auckland.
Another big topic that relates to the design and built environment of Auckland is housing, and how we can maybe build more housing, make housing more affordable, and just generally address this housing crisis that we're seeing in Auckland. What would you do as mayor to address some of these issues?
Well, first thing is we've got to fight against the new legislation that government has put in, because that is bad. The reason it's bad is what they've done is said you can now put a block of three houses. If you've got the land area, you can put three houses, three stories high, with a meter restriction around the boundaries, and you can go up 11 meters. The reason this is bad is because there's no infrastructure planning around it. So now a developer has been given the keys to the city as a city planner, and they can put these developments anywhere they want, and Auckland Council go, oh, well, we don't have the stormwater and sewage for that. The developer goes, too bad, it's not part of the rules to say we can't do it, so we're putting it up and we're going to link into the existing system, and the stress on the system, too bad, so sad, you fix it. That's the problem we've got. Auckland Council had a unitary plan. They spent 3, maybe even 4 years going through every suburb in Auckland and working it out, and there were 900,000 home sites set out in this unitary plan. So it already existed. It was already under control. That allowed for planning of infrastructure right through from the services through to transport, through to roading, through to schools, hospitals, shopping centres. All the different points around it were already planned, and we need to go back to that because that was working. Granted, there are some major issues with the RMA, which the health system was part of. Those should have been tweaked rather than this haphazard blunt tool of just build houses anywhere, because in 20 years' time, that is going to cause way more problems than we've already got, and everyone will be going back and going, oops, we made a major mistake here.
You mentioned that the previous unitary plan of the council, before the government came in, as I understand, was essentially working as intended and was solving most of these problems already. Do you not believe that there is some sort of just great lack of housing and availability of housing for many Aucklanders, given that we're seeing a lot of people identify housing as a major issue and the supply of it?
Yep, certainly. But the new system is not the answer, because the availability of sites already existed. And it's not going to, opening it up to everybody is not suddenly going to be a magic wand that allows builders and developers to suddenly put houses up. You've got the problem of supply of goods and no one to build them. So it doesn't matter if you do this new unitary plan or use the existing Auckland unitary plan. The problem is the speed of builds, not the availability of sites to build. Now, the speed of builds is not a council problem. Well, it is and it isn't. It is because the internal departments are not fast enough in processing the applications and the consents and the resource consents working, and that's because of the Resource Management Act. So that's why that should have been tweaked properly with some experts who know about it, and then everything could get on and the builders could get on with building on the existing sites that were already allocated. So the problem is builders, materials and the RMA, not the amount of sites available.
There has been a lot of discussion in Auckland around parts of the city being in some sort of a decline post-COVID. Many believe that the mayor and council need to have some kind of plan to revitalise the city, especially the inner city. How do you propose to bring confidence back into the city centre?
Yeah, that's quite a hot topic for me, that one, because I ask why. Why is the focus on the city centre and not the outer suburbs? So in days gone by, and I'm talking 20 years and earlier, Queen Street used to be the go-to. It was a special trip. There were events on Queen Street. They'd shut it down. They'd have all sorts of thing family attractions going on, and it was full of shops. But then the suburbs happened. And this has happened over 50 years. The suburbs have grown and the big malls have come in. And it's happened in Newmarket. It's even happened right downtown at the bottom of Queen Street. The big mall's gone in. So what's changed is that people no longer consider Queen Street a special shopping trip. And that's what it used to be. So you've got to think, okay, what's going to bring people back to the city centre? What's its purpose? And it also used to be the central business district, which it is no longer. And COVID has proven that many businesses can work in satellite offices or even completely moving their offices to other areas of Auckland, because you've got Albany, Westgate, Monaco, there's Eastern, there's all sorts of areas now growing where people can have businesses. And in fact, an advantage of that, the less people going in to the CBD every morning and leaving again in the early afternoon or late afternoon, you suddenly reduce the peak hour traffic and the need to transit people in and out of the city. So that's a bonus. But aside from that, I think the CBD needs to transform itself. We need to flick a switch and turn it into a civic centre rather than a business district. Granted, there are going to be some major businesses that need to stay there, financial, legal, banking, some of the big corporates that they need, and because they work together and it needs that face-to-face contact. But a lot of businesses will leave the CBD because there's no purpose for them there anymore. They don't need to be in there. They can go anywhere else. Then you've got the problem, you've got empty buildings and you've got empty shops, because the shops are going, well, no one's coming to my, I don't know, Just Jeans or Glassons or whatever, because they're going to the malls. And the advantage of the mall is you've got free parking, easy access, and you're undercover and you can go to all the shops you want and go home again. So why go to Queen Street when you can do that at your local mall? So now you've got a problem where the council cannot tell the owners of these buildings what to do with them. Council doesn't own them. So we've got to put in ideas. We've got to sit down and chat with the landlords, the owners of these buildings, and say, if you don't have a store there, what can it be used for? Can it be turned into something that is a family value, of a civic value, where on weekends we can have the whole of the downtown Auckland is basically a full 24/7 park kind of atmosphere with restaurants, cafes, eateries, and things for people to do. But that's going to take a lot of different ideas from different people to say, hey, yeah, we can do that, and let's turn this building into that. And that's what it's going to take. So it needs a full reset, but I don't believe the reset is turning it back into a full-on shopping centre or a business district.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.